Back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select with Hockman, Gould, and Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back into the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select.
I remember that show.
Have some player comps rolling in. Great Al song. Reyes was one. Stubby Clap, another friend of the program, Stubby Clap. Mm-hmm. Also, Grimy from South County says he's down for a going away party at Roxy's. He'll even give Gardner some money to roll up and throw in the shower.
I mean, we're really not going away. We're just going in different directions, you know. Right, we're still going to have a strong.
You know
podcast,
what I will say?
The best podcast in baseball will still be going on.
I just
saw the two bends on that.
I'll say God bless the broken road that led us straight to each other.
God bless it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the magic.
Oh,
that
man,
is.
That has got to be the first lyric.
Leave it to
of
the Sedalian.
State Fair.
No, that's actually a Rascal Flatts song.
Yeah. Leave it to the Sedalian to quote Rascal Flatts.
I'll go Bob Dylan.
Uh huh.
Goodbye's too good a word, babe. So I'll just say fare thee well.
That's not bad, buddy.
Save that for Friday, man. Next Friday.
When I'm not here.
All the good stuff.
When that other guy is.
I'll text it to you.
Yeah, what about, see you later! What about that?
I'm going to go, adios, pelota!
You're kept on the board! Writer's Block!
All right. We are going to talk some actual sports today because there's some MLS news.
Stop stealing my stuff.
there's some MLS news. Our buddy Mike Falk, who's not going to get nearly as many calls to come on the show here in the next week. Marshall's cousin, he's covering the Board of Aldermen meeting today. From what I understand, the Board of Aldermen have agreed to put the vote for the MLS proposal on the ballot. The only thing it needs now is approval from a judge. This is because it's coming after the timeline expires, so it should be, I would think, relatively easy to get the judge to sign off on that. I heard that it was the mayor was going to sign off on it as soon as it hit his desk. So hopefully for people who want to vote on soccer, they will have that on the April ballot, barring a signature from a judge.
I'm now wondering if they're going to have any campaign or not.
Oh, they're going to have to. You're talking about getting voters on board?
Like, is Joe Buck going to voice a television ad or something like
it's
that?
It's already started to some degree. If you drive past the airport on one of those video billboards, there's a let them vote campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That has a sign up. So I guess if the vote becomes, then there will be another. I would think there would be another version of the campaign.
And Frank Cusimano from the Frank Cusimano Show, starring Frank Cusimano, has had on Edgerly and some of the folks, and they've talked about the idea that they need to educate in quick sound bites or quick notes the public that's voting. Why this is a good thing, because it's very easy to say, oh, tax dollars, or oh, we don't like the sport of soccer, whatever. But so it's the key thing will be how they can campaign this to get people on board to want to vote for it, or else the thing could slip through our fingers.
Mm-hmm. So that's the latest news on that. And then we had we got to talk some Blues hockey here, because the Blues go out last night, get a 5-1 win over Toronto in Mike Yeo's debut.
Can you believe it? A team in sports fires their coach, and in the next game, the very next game, a team comes out hungry and re-energized and wins?
Well,
you never see that.
No, you don't. It's common, right? So I guess we can dive into that, but to me, it's like, what happens if they don't?
If they had lost
it? There's a legitimate chance they could have gone out there and fallen on their face and looked like crap, and that doesn't give you a very positive start to the Yeo era. You know, I'll say this. With all, you got to do all the standard kind of backing into it, saying, yes, it's, you know, we're very aware of the new coach effect, and we're very aware of what happens after a change, and throw in the fact that Bob Plager got his number retired last night, and the guys sat there and listened to his speech, and that was certainly a emotional evening in a lot of fronts. Plus the fact that, like, if some guys, you know, we heard all about how hits created on players, the fact that he's gone. There are a lot of things in the mix here of what could have got this team to look better. But it would be a discredit to them to say they looked really good. Jake Allen let the first one in and then stopped every shot after that.
That's the most important
thing. They looked sharp. They looked aggressive. They scored up two goals in, like, you know, half a minute. They were They were, you know, winning the puck battles. They were playing tough on the boards. I mean, they were doing everything that you've seen them do when they play well. They looked energized and awake. And the fact that their stars were the ones who were coming through. Stastny, Tarasenko played great.
Yeah.
And you just kind of wondered, okay, obviously there's been a breath of fresh air here.
Yeah.
How long can it last is the question.
Right.
And the guys, you know, Yo, it's kind of weird. You're in a weird spot, right? Yo is, to me, I wrote something about it for the website, stlt.com. Like, Yo's in this impossible spot right now. He is supposed to be this guy who's kind of upset that Hitchcock got fired because he was a part in that, and he respects Hitch. At the same time, he's got to be the guy who can broadcast that he's going to go out and do it better. And really, if this team, if Hitch was the issue, we're going to find out, because this team is good enough to get into the playoffs. If the season ended today, they're in. I don't think they're going to go make a run, you know, but I also think that there's a tradition, a standard that's been set in the NHL that when you make a coaching change in the middle of the season, those teams have done okay. Look at the Penguins last year. The next team the Blues plays, they won the dang Stanley Cup.
And, of course, Yo was an assistant on the, I believe it was the 08-09 team in Pittsburgh that fired their coach halfway through, and they brought in Bylsma, and they won the Stanley Cup. So that's happened twice over there in Pittsburgh.
So I just think, you know, it's interesting to hear the players talk about him. And what they all say is that he's been a guy who this pretty much all this year has sat back and listened and observed.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's in that role, you're seeing him kind of, he knows what buttons to push. He knows
sure.
the way to communicate with guys because he's seen what does and does not work
right
during this season. One of the things I thought was interesting in watching was he was more active on the bench than Hitchcock was.
Now, he has arms around players sometimes.
Giving guys pounds on the shoulder when they came off, you know, a good shift. Talking with Tarasenko a ton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not, you know, arguing, but just talking a lot. And now part of that is because he's learned on the fly. I mean, he said himself, like, there were a couple times we had too many men on the ice, they just didn't catch it. You know, we've had to pull him back in. So he's being pretty open about, you know, this being a bit of a transition here. But I just thought, you know, I know that there's a documented history of teams going out and showing some jump after their coach gets canned.
Yeah.
But it would have been a bad sign if they would have gone out and snoozed their way through a game.
What were there tangible differences that you saw? I mean, obviously,
sure.
you know, it stems from Jake Allen. I would imagine that the new coach, maybe if it's a portion of the 100% of the win, is slightly less of a portion than Jake Allen playing well. But were there tangible things, like whether it be something like a new combination for the lines or new direction communication on the bench, were there tangible things that were different?
He didn't change the lines from Hitch's last game. And that was maybe a little disappointing for people like Chris, who want to see, obviously, Laterra pulled off the line with Tarasenko, even though he did have an assist last night.
Mm.
There were not tangible changes with the lines. There was more communication on the bench. Now part of that you could say, well, because they're trying to figure out what the heck they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it you say that's going to be kind of a constant under Yo. One of the things the guys talked about a lot was that everything is simpler, that he's given them a direction of which way he wants to take them, but he's boiled it down to like two or three talking points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what you're supposed to do, just play.
Yeah.
And Stastny was really adamant that they played looser and just played more so than thinking and trying to be tied up in their head, and just went out there and played, and maybe that was what helped them kind of look a lot more, just a lot more crisp, a lot mm-hmm. more energetic, and that was tangible, the way they played. Allen obviously was a huge part in that, but the fact that you have the stars playing well, I think was noticeable too.
To answer your question from my vantage point, Derek, I feel like the most symbolic play of the night was the first Stastny goal. You talk about the Blues losing battles against the boards, winnable battles at times. Perron wins that forecheck, gets the puck right over to Steen, mm-hmm. and gets it to Stastny. It's two of the guys who over the years have kind of been documented as the didn't necessarily love the old coach for whatever
sure.
reason.
And now they have a guy to impress.
And yeah, and so it's a forecheck that gets them the puck, and then they get the goal. So that was the one that stood out to me visually.
Something that should be factored into here is that these guys heard what Doug Armstrong said about them.
Sure.
And calling a bunch of guys independent contractors and then comparing them to how the Cardinals don't put up with that. I mean, look, that's a calculated shot, because what do the Blues hate being compared to the Cardinals? Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always living in the Cardinals' shadow. And then the GM comes out and says, we got a bunch of independent contractors on this team, guys who only care about themselves,
yeah.
Guys who, if they go home with three goals and a loss. Cough, Tarasenko, cough, and they're happy, then that's screwed
up. That was
up.
The quote that, oh, man, I put that in my column. That was the one that caught me. He goes, we'll have guys who get what they want and we lose and they're happy.
Yeah,
it's
right.
I mean,
yeah,
you,
that's
you know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's we don't lose with pride was the other line. That was like, whoa.
I thought.
But so we talked about that the other day, though, like Gardner and I did, just to kind of add to it, though, that that's a fascinating. I've always found that that was a fascinating part of hockey culture,
mm-hmm.
is that when I was covering hockey, and it still obviously is true today, I was always struck by how GMs are so blunt in their assessment of players,
mm-hmm.
and yet the coaches are so disposable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the coaches get the compliments and everything like that, but the players just get skewered. So every time a coach gets fired, it's rarely ever the coach's fault. It's always the players need to be better. Players. And I just find that fascinating in hockey culture, where you don't always see that in other sports, where the players are such, and then it's true in hockey, that they're commodities, they're treasured commodities, they make a lot of money for the rare skill that they have. But in other sports, that comes with like a protection, especially in baseball. Oh my gosh, you know, goodness, even fans, and especially, I mean, you see it in this town all the time. It's never the players' fault. I mean, the list of things, like, you know, they're more likely to blame the assistant hitting coach on a guy striking out on an 0-2 pitch with a runner at third that could have won the game. That's the assistant as opposed to the hitter. Oh, my gosh. No, not the player.
Well, to be fair, Derek May is known for working with the guys on two-strike counts.
Well,
Derek.
Derek May was let go by the Cardinals.
Oh, so he's not back this year.
You may be right.
But you may – yeah.
No, Mabry's the – Derek made it is
but
not
last
returning.
Year he was the assistant hitting coach.
He was. But I just
see that's how much blame they put on him.
He's really yeah.
That's
he
how he
go.
Got canned. He had to go. Yeah.
He deserves a better situation.
It was just, go ahead.
I find it interesting with what you said there, Ben Fred, about the comments made by Doug Armstrong, with the independent contractor's comment. They played a different game last night, and they played a very good game. But combine those comments about independent contracting. And then the pregame ceremony with Bob Plager, where you heard him go on and on about his teammates.
Yeah.
So combine those two.
Well, and he had
you know what Doug Armstrong said, and then the players were there to witness Bob Plager's jersey going up into the rafters last night, and him ad nauseum going on about the teammates and the people he played for.
Talking about
and
playing
the
organization. For the crest on the front, not the name on the
so
back.
So you combine
twice.
Those two comments, or you know those two instances. I mean, what are you thinking as a player when you go in last night?
Someone on the text or 314 says Tarasenko sold out to keep the puck in the zone in the second period. That spoke volumes.
That was the thing I wanted to say a moment ago, that he dives in between three Maple Leafs players just to keep it in the zone. And that's such a welcome change from what you're talking about, that's inspiring these comments from the general manager to say that if guys get theirs, that they're happy no matter the outcome of the game. That was a really noticeable change I saw.
The first and only time I ever heard my grandfather curse was when I was 6 years old and we were at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of Brett Hull didn't do something like that.
Oh, really?
Brett Hull skated through the neutral zone, and the puck went right past him and onto another player's stick. And first and only time I ever heard my grandfather curse, and basically stood up and told Brett Hull to go after the puck in a certain way.
Hmm.
That left six-year-old Chris Gardner with his eyes wide open looking at Grandpa, and Grandpa just sitting down in silence realizing what he had done.
Well, I don't think the math
was
adds
that before.
Up in the
was that before or after your dad just took you out on the rink and just pushed you down and held you on the
that
ice?
That was before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of bad hockey experiences for you, Chris. No wonder you're no good at it.
I never said they were bad.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Dave Matter to catch up on the latest in Mizzou hoops. They had a close one against Florida last night. We'll talk about it here next on the Riders Block, presented by Bud Select. Like you're listening to the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com.